Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Are You Fit, a show all about promoting health and instilling togetherness. I'm Michaela, and my co-host tonight is Jamie Lemon. She's coming back on to do a show with me called Love Your Emotions and Choose Your Words Wisely. Welcome, Miss Jamie.
Hello there, Mikey.
Yes, for everybody that doesn't know what Mikey is, that's me, a.k.a. Michaela. Jamie is joining us. She does so many different things, I don't even know where to start, but to just mention, she is an NLP practitioner, among other things, and I'm going to let Jamie explain, what is NLP?
Okay, NLP. It's called Neuro-Linguistics Programming, and it is basically an owner's manual for how your mind works. And so I took my first certification back in 2004, and I took my master's certification I started in 2002 and then took my master's certification in 2004. So it has been a field of interest for me for quite some time, and it has really empowered me to sit in the driver's seat of what goes on within my body.
Okay, so you explained what NLP stands for, but what does an NLP do? Like, I know it's a neuro-linguistic practitioner, but what does that entail? What do you do? How do you help people?
I listen to the language with which they use to describe their experiences with, and I look for inconsistencies. Or I look for negative programming that keeps them stuck. I listen to how they describe what's going on.
Okay. So another question for you, Jamie. Why is it important for us to acknowledge our emotions rather than deny our feelings? Why is that so big?
It's really big for me. And I learned this through the teachings of Matt Kahn, K-A-H-N. He is on YouTube. He has tons of information out there. He has started the Love Revolution. And he believes, well, I don't know. I was studying Masaru Emoto's work, Hidden Messages in Water, understanding how words affect our existence. And
right.
Words such as jealousy, anger, hate, rage, depression. I mean, words that I have been taught not to use, right? Growing up in the time period that I was raised in, you kept your bad stuff to yourself and you didn't share it with others. You only shared being happy and joyous with others. And so when I was in the privacy of my own home and I would have these negative tapes running in my head, I felt really trapped and really sad and really dysfunctional and just hated life. And when I met Matt Kahn and when I studied Masaru Emoto's Hidden Messages in Water, it really gave me an aha moment because I realized, well, geez, what if there is an emotion that matches each one of the elements in the periodic element chart? How do we know love without hate? How do we know up without down? How do we know happy without sad? So why is it that we only embrace the perceived good emotions and we regret any perceived negative emotions or stuff them? And so the minute that I started loving hate or started loving jealousy is the minute that it started to set me free, because it didn't keep coming back and knocking on my door for attention.
So actually acknowledging stuff and not suppressing it. I know there was a game that we liked to play and it really worked well for me. I don't know if it's going to work for our listeners, but I wanted to kind of share that little game, that little mockery a little bit to kind of make light of our emotions. I know we used to give names to our emotions. And why were we doing that, Jamie?
Because I have found for myself that if I give it a name, it makes it a third person instead of just myself. So I'd wake up and I'm driving down the road and somebody cuts me off and all of a sudden I'm enraged and I would say, wow, check it out. Edgar the Ego just came up to play because I believe I know how to drive better than that other person. And so I would just start to love my Edgar the Ego who came to play, or George the Grouch. And as soon as I would love George the Grouch, all of a sudden I didn't have nothing to be grouchy about anymore. So
Right? Hey, Angry Annie, there you are. Nice to see you.
Right?
See you later.
Thank you for coming and playing. I love you.
I know that sounds so corny, but at the same time, it's
exactly.
Like you got to make light of the situation. Right.
Because it is who we are. It is who we are. I mean, how do you know up without down? How do you know angry? What's the opposite of angry?
Not angry.
That's a good question, isn't it? Right? Happy? Right? I mean, I don't know. I haven't figured out all of their polar opposites. You know, what's the opposite of depression? Happy?
Joy?
I don't know.
Joy. Right.
What's the opposite of rage? I mean, it's like I'm still learning the opposite.
Oh, goodness, right.
But when I notice, my job is to be aware of my emotions. Who is the dominating emotion, or what is the dominating emotion? And once I recognize that I'm a little bit on edge, or I'm a little grouchy, or whatever, if I assign them a name and I love myself through them, I do much better. They don't stick around as long. If I stuff them, they keep coming up. Because what if things just appear to be loved? We want to be loved. We want to hang around people that love us, right? What happens if it's the same for our emotions?
You know,
we don't
really think
about
that that much. Yes, you do. And I've loved all of them all throughout. Another one that you used to talk about that we worked on was, I don't know if it was like a what you called it, but it was like a video playback of like how you want your day to go, or like a particular event to go. You know what I'm talking about, Jamie?
No, yeah, I did. I called it future pacing. In neurolinguistics programming, if you have an event that you have coming up and you're anxious about it because anxiety is fear of a future event, or you're scared because you don't know how it's going to go. Like one night I was getting ready to fly to Houston, and I have flown to 12 different countries around the world, and I am very familiar with how to maneuver through airports and such. But this one particular night, I was getting really anxious, and I was about ready to cancel my flight and call the person that I was supposed to go and meet and say, look, I'm going to have to pass this time for whatever reason. I don't want to get on the plane. And then I went, whoa, wait a minute. Who's driving the bus? Am I driving the bus, or is someone else driving the bus? So I decided to play with my neurolinguistics programming, and I decided to future pace myself through my flying day the following day. And so what I did was I just got very quiet, and then I visualized in my head that it was 5:30 in the morning, and my neighbor came over and picked me up, and I greeted her with a smile, and she drove me over to the airport. And while we were in the car, we were chatting about fun things, and I saw myself going into the airport and easily maneuvering through the check-in process and going through security and blah, blah, blah. And I want you to know that by the time I was done, and in my mind I arrived in Houston, I went, hey, all right, all of a sudden I'm not anxious anymore. So then I went to sleep, and I slept really good. And then the next day went exactly as I had imagined it.
That is so amazing. I think it's right. There is a trick to that, in the fact that you really kind of got to, not kind of, but you got to believe that whole envisioning
No. No, you don't have to believe it at all. No, all you have to do is play. Play Christopher Columbus and see how well it works. Right? How dedicated are you to feeling good? Can you stay focused long enough to see it all the way through?
Right.
If you don't want to play, you don't have to. It's your God-given right. But in neurolinguistics programming, they call it lighting up your neurological network and future pacing, what it is that you desire, because the new quantum physics says that our outside world is a mirror image of our inside world. What if the human DNA has a huge impact on our outside world? That's why, who was it? Mahatma Gandhi, what did he say? Be the change you wish to see in the world.
Right.
Instead of me telling everybody how to change themselves and how to fix themselves, why don't I just live it? Why don't I embody it?
Be that example.
I'm the only one that it matters to, right?
Right.
So what if our outside world is a mirror image of our inside world? So the more happy and loving I am and at ease I am with my earthly experience, the easier my outside world will transition or transform. Now, am I saying that I am exempt from anything negative happening? No. I mean, just Friday morning, I woke up to a flooded house again. This is the third time in 10 years.
Ugh.
And so what I did was I turned off the water and I put down a bunch of towels and I said, look, I'll deal with this in the morning when I wake up. So this is unlike me. I went to bed. I went back to bed after knowing that my house was flooded. I just sent myself, I love yous, and I said, I'm going to fix it in the morning or not. I mean, it's either I'll be calling a plumber or I'll be able to figure out what's wrong. And sure enough, 7 o'clock rolled around. I got out of bed and I'm like, okay, well, let's just see what's going to happen. And I just started walking through it and getting quiet with myself. And I was able to pinpoint where the problem was. I was able to clean up all of the water and I was able to repair it all by myself. And that is very empowering. But my old me would have stayed up from 3 o'clock in the morning and fretted and stewed over it. Right. And then felt bad. But the new me says, look, the sun's going to come up tomorrow anyway, so what's a couple more hours? So I just went back to bed.
Right? Oh, my God, that's so true. Well, I wanted to say, you know, I have used your future pacing numerous times. There's an event that I recall when I had my center, and I was dealing with a colleague of mine where things weren't going to – we were at odds. And I was so afraid on how that was going to go. And I remember you telling me to try it out, envision how I wanted that conversation to go. And I was like, oh, God, Jamie, whatever. But I did. I was like, okay. So I can, yes, I was like, whatever, Jamie, here's one of your woo-woo crap again. Okay, but whatever. Okay, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try it. And, yeah, and so I literally envisioned, like, from the moment of coming into my office, how I was going to greet him, what I was going to say, and how he was going to react. And goodness knows, can you believe? I mean, it actually went well. I mean, we weren't meant to be together in that office, but it was. We were able to end on decent terms where I thought it was going to be a huge blowout. So it is amazing what you can do.
Exactly. And I have a story similar to that. A friend of mine who worked for a company for 25 years, on the 24th year, found out, she was in upper management. She found out that one of her equal upper management employees was going to be fired, and he had stage 4 cancer. And she says, I've worked with him for 24 years, and I know that he has a temper, and I know this isn't going to go well, and I am really dreading going into work tomorrow and having to deal with all of this. And so I said, well, do you want to continue to feel that way, or do you want to see if you can have an effect on how it all goes tomorrow? And she's like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, let's future pace it. Let's put our energy out into tomorrow the way that you would like it to go, right? We're going to play I Dream a Genie, and we're going to blink into existence what it is that we desire. And she's like, you're smoking crack. And I said, look, what I'm offering you is free. You want to play? She's like, all right, just tell me what I'm supposed to do. And so I asked her, I said, you know, if it's safe for you, safe for others, and safe for the ecology, there's no reason why we can't have it. So why not ask? What's the worst thing that can happen? You don't get it. Whoop-de-doo. Well, if you don't try, you're not going to get it either. Let's try. And so she went to bed. She did what I asked her to do, which was see him act mature and gracious and exit easily and effortlessly without causing a big, huge ruckus for the rest of the employees. And after, and I asked her, I said, so this is going to happen at 11 o'clock. And she said, yep. And I said, how long do you think it's going to take? And she says, oh, I don't know. I said, you think you'll be done by 1? She says, oh, yeah, easy. I said, okay, well, call me and let me know what happened to see if I calibrated it appropriately. Well, she called me at 12:30 and she's like, oh, my God. I don't know who that person was, but he never raised his voice. He never lost his temper. Everything went easy peasy. We all separated on good terms. There was no hate. And she said, you're weird. I said, you can call me whatever you need to call me. Just don't call me late to dinner.
Yeah, and weird, I would have to say I've been called worse. So I guess weird's all right.
Right. I mean, you know, call
That's
me whatever
hilarious.
You need to call me.
Yes. So, oh, my God, Jamie.
What
okay,
if you didn't have more impact?
Right. Well, I wanted to say, before we get jumping into the next thing, is do you have, okay, so we mentioned a couple techniques that they could use, like naming their emotions, giving them their own names, and we also talked about future pacing. But what about anything else that you would suggest on how they could acknowledge their emotions or play with that? Like, do you have any other ideas that you might want to share with them before we move on?
I don't know. When was the last time you looked at yourself in the mirror and looked in your eyes and said, I love you? I mean, if we don't love ourselves, how do we expect somebody else to love ourselves? I mean, I'm busting life down in a very simple term. Well,
you know what?
But
we make it sound simple.
It is.
I know, but you,
it just takes
you make it sound
was
so
it simple?
Easy.
Wait, slow down.
Okay.
How easy was it when you first rode a bicycle?
Okay, fine. Not easy.
How easy was it when you gave birth to your first child?
You didn't stop, did you?
You just maneuvered through it because
no.
you wanted it so bad. Well, how bad do you want to feel good? Well, it all starts with you. No one else can love you any better than you love yourself. That's why we have 52% divorce rate in America, because 52% of the people can't look at themselves in the eye and say, I love you.
Right. It starts with
it's
ourselves
crazy. What
first.
If it's
I mean,
simple?
Yeah.
What if it's so simple? This is freaking free. I don't need to medicate you. I don't need to hypnotize you. I don't need to do anything to you. I invite you to come to my party. I invite you to play in my realm. I tried to kill myself 12 years ago. That wasn't the way I needed to go. Since then, I've learned how to look myself in the eye and say, I love you. Do I still suffer from depression? On occasion. And depression is because I'm not getting what I want when I want it.
That impatience, that's me sometimes.
Yes. Depression. I get all depressed and sad because I don't have a house that's big and fancy. I don't have a retirement account. I don't measure up to the Joneses down the street. I'm bad. No. I love me wholeheartedly. And the more I say I love me or I love you, the better I feel. I'll be out there washing
my
cars, and I'll see how many different ways I can say I love you. And I was saying them out loud, and then eventually I stopped and I started looking around to see if my neighbors were watching me because I was cracking myself up.
Right? Well, I definitely think, the phrase fake it till you make it does apply here, because even if you don't feel like you love yourself, at some point after you say it enough, like it starts to settle in, you know?
It really does. It really does. I mean, try it for 6 months, but give it an honest to gosh try. You know?
Right.
Just don't do it once and say, oh, that crap doesn't work for me. They're smoking crack. Right?
Right.
If you can say I love you to yourself every day for the next 6 months, I will pay you $1,000. Oh, you have my attention. I can do that. That's easy. Right? How can we
right.
do it for money, but we won't do it for free?
I know. It's like people have to attach like some kind of incentive reward thing in order to do anything. I don't understand that. I don't know if it's like a Pavlov dog bell thing or what. I don't know.
I don't know, but I was the same way until I realized, hey, I get a lot of benefit from playing Christopher Columbus and sailing the ocean blue and saying I love yous to me, you know? I believe that dis-ease happens in the body when there's a disconnect between what the heart wants and what the head wants, right? And so learning to come from the heart that is this big energy source that pumps out 50,000 watts of power per se. I mean, I'm pulling numbers out of the air, but, you know, in one of the books that I read says that your consciousness, your brain only emits like 15 watts of power, but your heart, when you're passionate about something, it pumps 50,000 watts of power. Well, I want my life to be heart-centered and heart-driven because I believe when it comes from the heart and from my passion, then there's no reason why I can't have what I want.
Agreed. I completely agree with
I
that.
I survived
yeah,
complete
but that's the
liver
problem,
failure.
Though. Well, that's the hard part, though, is most people do not come from heart. They come from logic. Well, logic says that this is not supposed to work, you know what I mean? Or this is not supposed
well,
to be how it's
fine,
supposed to
fine, because that was the time period that we just came out of. I mean, that's why they call
right.
it the dawning of Aquarius, right? I mean, in the 60s, they had that song, this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius, right? Well, from 1900 to 1999 was the age of Capricorn, which was all about external wealth, external growth, and external knowing. And it was also me being better than the Joneses. right? I had to have the bigger house, the fancier car, the better job, because it was all about external wealth and growth. Well, now at the age, or the year of 2000 to the year 2099, we're in the age of Aquarius. The age of Aquarius is all about internal wealth, internal growth, and internal knowing. How many people will you talk to today will say, I had a gut feeling? They'll say, well, I intuitively knew that this was the right choice. It's because it's coming from the heart. It's coming from that deep down God center of our
being. I got
being.
Goosebumps.
Right?
So beautiful,
I mean, it's
though.
Incredible.
Yes.
When you start to look at life through a different set of lenses, it becomes a magical place to play. Yes, we have a lot of baggage, but that is what we raised our hand to go through right now. We're changing the vibration of the planet, right? We're stepping into our God-centered self, right? I'm not saying I am God, no, but I am a piece of God,
right?
It's like I am a drop in the ocean. I'm a drop of water from the ocean, right?
I completely agree. I always say we're an aspect, like, or a speck of God, and that's not a lie, you know?
No,
God's
it's not.
Within, I mean, whatever you want to name God, but, I mean, God's in everything, around everything. It's just everywhere.
Right.
So whatever you want
right.
to call that.
God is energy?
That source.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the more I love it, the more it blooms, or the more it grows, or the more it flourishes. So I invite people to play in my world of reality, and I invite people to take the word hate and write it on a post-it note, and then I want them to get another post-it note and write the word love. And I want you to take two glasses of water from your own tap, and I want you to set one glass on one post-it note and set one glass on the other post-it note and let them sit there for 3 hours. And then blindfold your buddy. I had an opportunity to work with my clients. I said, do you trust me? And they said, yeah. And I said, okay, would you take a sip of this water and tell me which one tastes sweeter? They didn't know which glass was sitting on what post-it note. And I want you to know, all three people that I tested all picked the word love, the water with the word love, because it was sweeter. There is no hocus pocus here. You can take the word love and put it on a post-it note and set it underneath one of your plants that wasn't thriving. And next thing you know, you're going to notice it start to thrive. Everything is affected by energy.
Right, and words
can
do
you tell
truly
I'm
matter. Speaking
about
of post-it notes, yes, but I was going to say, speaking of post-it notes, since we're on that subject, you would always remind me of other ways to utilize post-it notes, you know, like for positive affirmations, you know? Like, what is the one that you always like to say? It's like, oh gosh, I can't even think of it right now. Like, I love you. Like, oh, God, I can't even think. But it's just, you use post-it notes a lot, you know, to remind you and put it in all kinds of places for us to be reminded of positive messages. So it's reinforced.
Right. Whenever I notice that I'm in fear of money, right, and fear of lack, it's like, oh, property taxes are due. Oh, quarterly taxes are due. Oh, yearly taxes are due. So usually my finances have to do with taxes. I say, I love you. I am completely supported by spirit in everything that I do. I know I am always taken care of and I am safe. And
that's
love.
The one. It was something like that. I'm always taken care of. That you had a little bit of a longer one that I would use, but it was something along those lines, yes.
I had two pages of these printed up in rainbow print, and I stuck them in my shower stall, and every morning before I got out of the stall, I said them three times out loud to myself. I had post-it notes by my chest of drawers next to my bed so I could, that would be the last thing I saw when I went to sleep. And then I would have post-it notes inside my cupboard doors, and I would have post-it notes on my dashboard of my car. I mean, I am the queen of post-it notes. And like I said, I don't care how much you laugh at me or what you say about me, just don't call me late for dinner.
Right? Oh my gosh. Well, I know there was another one. I think one time you had me do this and it really worked. I got to find that list, but I think you had me write like 100 traits about myself that I loved about myself. And I was like, I can't write 100.
You love about yourself. Mm-hmm.
Right. And I was like, I can't write 101. But you know what? I sure did. And, you know, even if nobody else will acknowledge it, just the fact that you yourself could say, yes, this is me, this is me, this is me, this is me. How, I mean, if you're having a shitty day, I mean, you just look at that list and you're like, damn, I am pretty awesome.
Yeah.
At least 101 things here. Right.
Right. Right. And the list only matters to you. I mean, there's always going to be the naysayer. There's always going to be the person that challenges you, that wants to suck your energy and wants to get you off your high horse, right? And it's like,
right.
I love you so much,
right.
I'm going to let you express what you need to say. And then when we're done, I'll say, I love you, and we'll go about our own ways. You're entitled to
right.
have your opinion.
You don't have
I'm
to take it in.
To have mine. Right. I don't have to
Where's
take
that,
it in
what's
just
that
because
one?
Somebody throws me.
Right. The ball. Like, I don't. You don't have to catch it.
Yeah. Just because somebody throws you a tennis ball doesn't mean you need to catch it and take it into your heart, dear human being. Why do we have to give our power away because someone says, oh, that shirt looks silly on you. Why are you wearing that? Because I love the colors. Because it's comfortable. I love you. Thank you for your input.
That's huge. I mean, that's so huge because a lot of us want to take what somebody said in and allow that to hurt ourselves. And it's just silly, but we do it all the time. But it's true.
Well, then we got to defend ourselves. And it's like there's nothing that needs to be defended. You're entitled to look at the world through your own eyes. It doesn't mean I have to jump on the same cable car that you're running on or whatever. You know, I don't have to jump on the same
right.
wagon. And so
it's taken
me many years and an attempt suicide to learn to have my own boundaries. I can listen with a spirit
right.
of service. I can hear what you're saying. I will give you the time of day to say what you need to say. Do I need to alter anything about myself? No. Just because it comes out your mouth, does it mean it's true? No. But I love you enough
right.
that I will give you the opportunity to express yourself.
That's
and this
big.
Is, this is a
Jamie, so we got... Yes, it is. Okay, here, one thing to let you know. We got a little over 3 minutes left. I just wanted to see, is there anything else you want to share with our listeners in regards to word choice, emotions, anything else you would want to leave with them to make positive changes in the way they're using their words?
Yeah, I would ask everybody to remove the word not. Can't, don't, shouldn't, wouldn't, couldn't, remove the word not. So here's my example. You know how you go into a room, you hear a bunch of kids screaming and there's a big ruckus and you go into the bedroom and they're all jumping on the bed and you go, whoa, 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 what's going on? The first thing that I was told is don't jump on the bed. And as soon as the parents left the room, we jumped back up on the bed, right? So what if, in neurolinguistics programming, what if they're right when they say that there is one word that is unrecognizable in the conscious mind, and that is the word not. It doesn't know what to do with it. See, it does not know what to do with it. So it omits it from our language. Children, and then this happened to me. I went into a room, and there was four kids jumping on a bed, and I said, whoa, are you guys having fun? Yeah, this is great. And I said, who can tell me what a bed is used for? And they all stopped jumping, and they looked at me like, duh. And I said, no, there's a bed used for? Well, sleeping, duh. And I said, is that what you guys are doing? No. Do you think it would be possible for you to jump on the floor? Yes. Because here's the deal. If that bed breaks while you're jumping on it, you're going to be sleeping on the floor. Do you want to sleep on the floor? No. Okay, how about if we jump on the floor? Okay, thanks, Jamie. It solved the problem. You tell a child
right,
not
all
to
about
do something, they're going to do it. They're going to do
right.
it. Because you omit the word not, and it says, do jump on the bed. Just like, don't drive drunk. Why don't they just have one slogan that says, drive sober?
Instead, right? I know. It's all about reframing. That is huge. Jamie, thank you so much for your wisdom. I'm hoping that whatever audience that you decide to take from this, we're glad to share. I just wanted to let you know next time Jamie comes on with me, which is in another 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about something along the lines of the mindset of your worth and your well-being. So talking about maintenance and prevention, and are you even worth that? So Jamie, thank you so much for coming on. Everyone, you have a great rest
thank
of
you,
your
Mikey.
Week and take care. You're welcome,
yes,
woman. All
care.
Right, catch
thank
you in a couple
listening.
Weeks.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Okay, bye-bye. Big, big hugs.